Thanks for joining us at Praise Chapel. Our series this month is called Church. All month long, we are talking about the purpose of being the church. We're here to connect, grow, serve, and reach the community around us. Every person is called to serve. These are encouraging messages to help you find your place in the kingdom.
This is like my new favorite church. This is unbelievable. I was telling Diga, like, usually when I would come to minister, I've only been here once and I've been with the Cornerstone, I'm like always super nervous. Like, you guys have like the best speakers in the world in this church. You guys don't even know. And so whenever I come, I'm like really super humbled by it. And so I'm honored to be here. I was here the other day with Pastor Omar, and I was like, wow, God is really doing something in this church. And please, in the midst of all this and what God is doing, just keep pursuing more. Keep going after more. There's more than what you see. And God is doing something here. And I'm just so excited to be in this place right now, because I love what our churches do with our social media. We're taking things to the next level. But when I was pastoring in New York, I just started to have a heart for the people you don't see on Instagram. And the people who you don't see smiling at church, and the ones who are struggling, they come in and they were drugged in by somebody. And I know there's those people in the building today. And this message is for everybody, but I want you to know, if you came in today and you're saying, man, I am just hanging on, believe me, I was that person. I'm going to cry tonight. I always cry. I'm a big old crybaby. I was that person that would come in here and I just needed someone to push me. I needed to come in and just hear a word from God that was not trying to confuse me. Today, this generation, we want to be confused, and that's the word of God. No, that's not. There's nothing confusing about the love of God. There's nothing confusing. So I want you to know, strap on your seatbelt, prepare to answer the altar call. God's going to set you free. Amen. I want to read. I'm going to get right into it because I don't know how much time I have. Is there a clock up there? They say I have 8 hours and 15 minutes. Is that what this says? All right. I'm going to be reading out of the book of Exodus. I'm glad you guys are laughing. Chapter 3 today, verse 2. I'm going to read verse 2 through 12. And I brought my T.D. Jakes towel with me today. So you know I plan on preaching a little bit. Someone might get smacked with this midway through the sermon. But I just thought it was cool. I said, I'm going to try to hold one of those when I'm preaching. Because he just like, and he's talking. And I said, that must help him preach a little bit. So that's there. So you guys know. Let's get into this. All right. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Say amazement. Amazing. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't tell them anything. Don't bug your neighbor. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't this bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. You see, when the presence of God begins to move in that moment, Moses begins to do something that we all need to do when we're in that moment. He leans in. And see, we can look at that and say, well, there's the move of God. I see a move of God, and that's cool. Or we can choose in that moment to lean in and receive everything that God has for you. Do you know that how many moments of my life, I'm 37 now, I know, I look young. I'm 37 now, but there were moments in my life where I said, man, if I would have just heard the word of God and I wouldn't have just stood back on the sideline and said, that's cute, and I would have leaned in, then God would have changed the destiny of my life. You're a lean in away. Begin to lean in. God's doing something, and maybe you're in the back and you're just like, I can't lift my hands today. Just lean a little closer. God will touch you. I'm sorry, this mic's going to get destroyed. He says, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people. Let me repeat that. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go. Say, now go. Now look at your neighbor and say, now go. For I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Israel out of Egypt? God answers, I will be with you. I will be with you. That statement changed my life. That statement changed my life. I will be with you. Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read these quickly. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. See, the enemy says, I need to stop them, not because of where they are, but because of where they're going to go. He says, I need to stop them right now, not because of what they're doing, but because of what they're going to become. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, and then we're done. It's probably some of the most Bible we read all month, so we get it in. It says, by faith. By faith. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw. Notice by faith they saw that he was no ordinary child. I want you to know that we walk by faith and not by sight, but if you will begin to see by faith, you can walk in the Spirit of God. And you begin to see my whole ministry right now, what God is doing, is I just come to more of a message of restoration for people. More of a message. I come to prophesy more than preach, to say that there are some people in this place that you just need that nudge and push forward. You need to revisit some prayers that you had 10 years ago. You need to revisit some cities that you had on your heart 5 years ago. You need to revisit some prayers. You need to go back and revisit that dream that God gave you and said, God, maybe it wasn't for that time, but I'm ready to receive it right now. See, by faith, they saw that he was no ordinary child. I call this message the journey of your destiny. I see a few people taking notes. Write that part down. The journey. And I say journey because we only think of destiny and we only think about the destination. My job, my family, my house, my wife, my career. Everything is in that little, I'm getting lost. But you guys know what I mean. And we only think of the journey like that. And so what I'm saying is that we only think of destiny in the manifestation of the promise. We say, well, this is, if I don't have that in my life right now, then it must not be in the cards for me. If that's not going on in my life, and we completely lose sight of where God is taking us. You know, and sometimes it's the journey that is as important or even more important than the destination. And where God is taking you, the journey. See, I've learned to celebrate God and praise even in the middle. I've learned to say, God, if this is not happening right now, I see where you're taking me because I see in the Spirit. I'm going to still celebrate you now. Yeah. See, in reality, it's like this. You can get to where God wants you to get, but you might not ever become who God wants you to become. And you'll squander the promise that he gave you. Because, check this out, a few sacrifices in the eyes of men will elevate you. Your pastor can put you on the worship team, but wholeness coupled with elevation comes from God. Then that's going to sustain you in a place to push you even further to where you got to go. So God takes us on a journey, and Moses is on a journey. And I want to pray right now that God will just speak to your heart. Don't mind me. I'm not, you know, some of these guys, I took too much drugs, so I have no good memory. I'm looking down a lot. I need notes. But I'm going to pray that God touches you. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. I pray today, God, that there's people in this room that would just open up their hearts and receive the word that you have prepared for them. We give you glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you guys probably know, my wife and I were pastoring in New York City. I'm sorry, I'm LA through and through, but New York City is the greatest city in the world. It is amazing. I miss it every day. Let me pose for the camera real quick. We good? Okay. Yo, you guys catch me off guard all the time. I got a big neck and someone like, yo, I told them. I said, so we live. All right, sorry. I'm never coming back. I'm sorry, Pastor Omar. Let me get it all out now. You guys, the last time you're going to see me. And so we're in New York City, and what I love about the city is there's so many people everywhere. I'm a city person. I need people like in my face. I like the yelling. I like the honking. We come out to LA and people don't honk like in New York. And over here you'll fight someone. But in New York, it's just like people will honk at you and they won't even look at you. First time it happened to us, this guy honked at me. I jumped out the car like, what are you honking? What's up? And he's just looking straight. I said, oh, he don't want none. Then my friend told me, no. It's not that he don't want none. It's just that's how New Yorkers are. And adapting to all that, I loved it. I fell in love with the culture. But one of the things that I love is I'm a people watcher. How many of you guys are people watchers? And you got to be careful though, because you can be creepy at times if you look too much. So like, I would be sitting somewhere and there's people everywhere. So like, I love to look at people. I love to look at their clothes. I love to look at what they're wearing. I love to look at like older people and how they're going about life, and how they're just like at ease about certain things. I love to look at just everything. And I like to people watch. And I get lost in thought. I get lost in deep thought sometimes, and I'm there and I'm thinking. And I begin to think one day, I said, what sets us apart from creation? As human beings, what sets us apart? You know, you're watching birds, you're watching animals, all these different things. And it is, I'm saying, what sets us apart? Why are we so different? What sets us apart from the animal kingdom? What sets us apart from every other living thing? And it comes down to this, that as humanity, we can take something from the invisible and we can make it visible. That we have an Acts chapter 2 reality that says that we can dream dreams and we can see visions. We're the only ones that can do that, that we can say, man, God, you put this thing in my heart, that we can take something from the spirit and bring it into our reality. You see, we take something that does not exist. And if God planted it in our heart, then we begin to walk towards that thing and we'll see it before we know it. If God says, I want you to do this, all we have to do is begin to walk in the direction of something and we will see the manifestation of the promise. See, check this out. During the grand opening of Disney World in Orlando, Florida, a friend of Lillian Disney, this is Walt Disney's widow, she leaned over to her and said, it's such a shame that Walt never saw this. To which Lillian responded, he did see this, and that's why we're here. You guys need to know right now that you're sitting in a vision. You're sitting in a dream. Everything that's been going on, there was someone that said, there's something in my spirit and it's got to get done. There's something that God has put in my heart and we're going to see this thing happen. There were times, I bet, when your pastor said, man, we got to give up. And there was something in him that was birthed that said, we got to keep moving. You see, right now, here's the reality, is that you're living in your vision. And if you don't like where you are, maybe you should change what you see. See, there's people that are coming in to church, and I was one of them. This is a message directly from my heart. Coming in here and saying, I don't like where I'm at. This church, there's, you know, complaining, the lights are too bright, all this stuff. Well, if you begin to change what you see, begin to put the focus back on where it belongs, believe me, your whole perspective will change. Hebrews chapter 11, see, Moses' parents saw something. It says, the Bible says they saw something in their child. And I would submit that Moses was not any more special than anyone else in his generation at that time. And I read scriptures like that. And I said, well, there you go. See, Moses from birth, he's just special. Oh, there you go. You know, Pastor Omar, he's just awesome. He's different. There was something about him. But I would submit that that's not true, because the scripture puts the emphasis, and it puts the emphasis on the parents' faith. It commends the parents' faith, not Moses' faith. It says his parents saw that he was no ordinary child. When was the last time you looked at something, you saw something that was godly, and you saw, man, you saw something that God was pushing you towards? See, it wasn't Moses. It was on his parents. See, I want to ask you this question. What do you see? What do you see when you look at your family? What do you see when you look at your children? What do you see when you look at your spouse or when you look at your church? What do you see when you look at your city? Is it blurred? Is it like, man, you know, most of the times, and I've been around people, and all we want to do sometimes is spit venom over our city and say, God touched my city. Well, how can he touch your city when you hate your city? And we say, oh, man, I got to move out. I got to move. God's blessed. I got to move out of Paramount. And then sooner or later, you start missing Wednesday. You start missing service. The passion is no longer there. Well, you just need to start seeing things differently. See, if you're not careful, you'll only see in the natural. And you won't be able to see what God really wants you to do. This changed my whole perspective. Changed my perspective because I began to get a hold of God and say, God, I need to change what I see. You don't understand. I was living under a curse of a father whose mother used to have children and sell her children. I was living under a perverted curse, a lustful curse. And I said, you know what, God, I need to start saying things differently. You know what changed my life? And I began to remember. Is my mom used to pray, and she wouldn't say, God, save my son. You know what she would say? I remember that she would say, Lord, my son's a preacher of the gospel. She would be praying, my son is saved. My son is going to serve God. My son is already doing things. And that just changed my perspective, because it no longer came like I'm hoping for this, but I'm believing it already because it's over in my spirit.
See, by faith, they saw. What do we do? What do we see in the future of this church, of our fellowship? Let's get personal, our fellowship. What do we see when we look at the future of what's going on? Do we see people still taking cities for God? I came back from New York, and believe me, I'll do it all over again. My wife's like, girl, we're going to sit down and wait. We want to have some In-N-Out, some Tom's chili cheese fries. As soon as we're done eating, we're going to start thinking about something else. See, by faith, can we begin to see a move of God in this place? By faith, you know, God wants to move greater than what we're even experiencing right now. Because to God, it's like, that's cute. I like that. That's cute. But there's more. There's more. The Bible says in Exodus, the Bible says that, I'm losing my place. Sorry, guys. I get a little crazy. See, what they do, the Bible says in Exodus, that they place, Moses' mother places him in the river. And what you do is you take the promise, the word of God, that God is speaking to you, and you place it in the river of God. You put it in the river of God, and wherever the river flows, there is life. So you take the word of God. You say, God, you've given me this. There's people in this place that are sitting on a dream. God's given you every tool that you need, but you're saying, man, I just can't do it right now. You have everything that you need, and if you would take that word of God, place it in the river of God as Moses was placed in the river, there is life where the river flows. And believe that it's from God. See, by faith they saw. I really am here to not speak greatness over this church, but to pull greatness out of you. There's not just a handful of people that are just great for the kingdom. I believe that there are more people in this place that if you would just begin to rise up, begin to be annoying a little bit and say, man, there's something on my heart. That's what it was. My pastor will tell you that we just got annoying with what God was sharing with us. We bugged her so much and we said, no, we got to go to New York. Oh, how about this? No, God's calling us over there. We got to do something. And it changed our life. Start bugging your pastor. Sorry. See, by faith, they were able to see what God wants them to do. And see, check this out. In Exodus chapter 1, the enemy, he gets an unholy hunch, right? He says, I need to stop them lest they multiply. And don't miss this part, please. Don't zone out. You got your DVR set. It's going to be all right. See, Pharaoh attacked the Israelites not because of who they currently were. He didn't attack them because of what they were currently doing. He attacked their potential. And there are people in this room that the enemy has attacked your potential and you stopped believing 5 years ago of the promise God gave you. God spoke to you and said, you know, you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to go into a mission field. You're going to do different things. You're going to plant a church and the devil attacked you right there in that spot. He always attacks in transition. He attacked them because of what they were becoming and because they were about to multiply. I want to tell you, God forbid the devil has more faith in your potential than you do. God forbid the devil has more faith in your family than you do. God forbid he has more faith in this city than you do. What are we going to start seeing? Are we going to start seeing things different? God is looking for people who would by faith begin to see that they are no ordinary child. By faith begin to say, yeah, I'm jacked up. I'm messed up. I got high waters and dirty shoes on. I'm messed up. But guess what, devil? You ain't going to stop me because by faith I can see where you're taking me. And now my son does not have to live under the curse that I was living under because by faith I can say, you know what, now he's going to do something for God. See, I wish I had just a handful of people who would by faith begin to see. You can even change what we're seeing today. This is awesome what God is doing in this place. When I was with Pastor Omar the other day and I walked in here, it was an empty building and you can feel the presence of God in here. It might be these fancy lights, I don't know, whatever, you know, whatever. But I felt the presence of God. I said, man, God's doing something in this place. And God's like, there's more. I've just become a pursuer of more. God, I'm satisfied, but I want more. I spent 25 years of my life pursuing everything of the devil. I said, give the devil as much time as you've given the world and watch what he'll do. Give God, I mean, as much time as you've given the world. Watch what he's going to do with your life. See, this is what happens. This could be your greatest season of service, of honor. This could be your greatest season of faith and of prayer and revival, multiplication, if you could just by faith begin to see what God is doing. So he attacked their potential. And I want you to know tonight that the enemy does not know your future. He knows your past. That's what he reminds you. He doesn't know your future. Only heaven knows your future. See, I was one of those people that focused on the Polaroid picture of life. And I'm trying to shake it. Like, God, this is not where I want to be. And God's like, no, there's a big motion picture. And it's completed. It's done. The story is going to work out in your favor. And I'm looking, trying to focus on that Polaroid. We need to stop doing that. So he attacked Moses and it didn't work. He attacked Jesus. It didn't work. And the attack that you are currently in, what you are currently facing, that attack from the enemy is not going to work on you. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Moses finds himself running from his call. That passage I've heard preached many times, over and over, but this is what God was showing me. He's running, and there's parents in here. Check it out. Moses was in rebellion for 40 years. There's parents in here. Your kids are coming back to church. You're sitting in this place, and maybe they weren't raised in church. I love the golf clap. I love it. It's like, yeah. The Bible says to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. So if you're in here and you're believing for your friend's neighbor, just rejoice for your friend right now because their kid is coming back to church. There's three things that must happen on your journey. You guys ready? Three things. Keyboard player, when we get to number three, I need the Jesus keys to come up. Number one, this might be elementary for some of you guys, but I think even as I was pastoring, I put this message together. I needed to revisit these things in my heart. I needed God to show me some things that I was going through. Number one, you need a God encounter. Number one, God encounter. Exodus chapter 3, see the burning bush? This is the encounter that we read. We need a life-changing encounter with God. I love the services that they have, the encounter. That's all you need. There's really nothing else you need. There's nothing special. You need an encounter. See, it's not till you know God and you begin to find yourself. See, you won't know God until you know the one who created you. So you're not going to know who you are. This day and age, we live in a time where there are more separatist movements than any time in history. People trying to find themselves. People trying to search for different things and trying to say, well, this is who I am now. The most Googled question like 2 years ago was, why am I here? People trying to understand who they are. What's my purpose? They're trying to find themselves. You want purpose. The Bible says that the Creator put eternity on our heart. So no matter what you do, we're looking for eternal things. No matter what you're going through, there's going to always be that emptiness until you begin to pursue God. See, you can't look to creation to find out your identity. You got to look to the Creator and he'll have you find your identity. You need that encounter. I walked my whole life in church. I came to church when I was like 5 years old, and I remember walking through here moments, searching for the encounter. Came to the altar every time. Enemy had me. He had me like just thinking that I was having an encounter. And then there was a moment where I realized my biggest fear in the world was public speaking. Yeah. Crazy, huh? That's God. That's what he'll do. Now, I'm not the best speaker, but I remember there were moments when I was the youth pastor, when I was coming up in ministry, and the pastor saw something in me. She saw that I was no ordinary child. But I would purposely, when I knew she was going to call on me, I would run to the bathroom and hide. That's my wife. I was a youth pastor. I would call her on the phone, because I was a route driver for Aramark. Come on, everybody. Aramark kept Praise Chapel going. Aramark paid the bills for a couple of those years. And I was driving my truck home, and I was so afraid to minister to the youth. Not who they were. I was afraid of who I was. And I was in the car, and I'd be down the street from the Huntington Park Church and say, babe, I'm going to be late today. Can you have someone else speak last minute? And I'm sitting in my car. And I'm afraid to do what God has called me to do. And so you're looking at somebody who had to find themselves. And so I had to search for God. And it hurts sometimes. It's painful. You're going to go through seasons where you feel like God has left you alone. There's going to be moments where you say, God, why are you not here? I'd be on the toilet hiding because I didn't want to pray. God, are you real or not? And I had that moment. I just simply asked God, are you real or not? And there was that moment where he touched me and said, I'm real. Can you begin to walk with me again? That's all it takes. See, it's important to point out that God tells Moses, I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because if you don't know who you are, you'll never understand this part, because he's reminding him of who he is. That he's part of something. That he's part of destiny. And he has a purpose for his life. Do you guys know that Praise Chapel, there's a purpose why we do what we do? All the extra stuff that you guys have, which is amazing, man, I'm so jealous. It's so good. But it's always been about souls. Always been about reaching people. Always been about bringing that encounter for somebody that needs Jesus. Johnny Doris said this. You guys know Johnny Doris? Changed my life and perspective on ministry. He says, if we ever go away from bringing salvation to people, we may not lose a building, but we'll lose the call. That changed my perspective, because I was driving on the 105 freeway before we went to New York, and I said, God, you need to change my heart for people. And God broke my heart right there, and I began to cry. I would drive through Compton, and I would take those streets back to Huntington Park, and I just began to cry in the car like never before. Because if you just ask God for those things, he'll give it to you. And I read that quote. I heard it at the 40th anniversary, and he said that. I said, that's what it's about. Sometimes as young ministers, I'm pursuing everything else, and God says, just go after people. I am who I am today because I had a God encounter. A God encounter. An encounter with the fire of God. The Bible says that Moses stared at the bush in amazement. You know what I want for our churches? I'm sorry, I'm right-handed, guys. I love you guys over there. Either that or just there's just someone over here. God will find you. You know what we want for our churches? I believe that all of us want people to come in and not be amazed by everything that's going on, but God. See, in that moment, Moses was amazed. The Bible says he was amazed at God. You see, we want people to come into our churches and say, man, this is all nice, but man, God is amazing in that place. There's something happening in that place. God is moving in that place. Verse 4, God says, Moses, Moses, and this is good. Because he could have said, murderer, murderer. The devil calls you by your sin. God will always call you by your destiny. He always calls you by your destiny. The word Moses means drawn out. Drawn out. He says, just like you were drawn out of water, Moses, I'm going to use you to draw my people out of Israel. And so the enemy, he wants to call you by your sin. Believe me, there were moments in my life where he says, alcoholic, alcoholic, come over here. Cheater, cheater, come over here. And I would follow, living under that identity. And then I had to change it, and I realized that I had a purpose on my life. And it became Son of God. I'm holding it in, D, twice. In case we forgot, we were saved to bring people to Jesus. That's what it is, young people. You were saved to bring people to Jesus. You lay down your life and let people walk right over you to get to Jesus. Whatever it takes. See, the devil knows your name, but he'll always call you by your sin. And I want to speak a word over somebody today that you've been feeling, this is not in my notes, but you've been feeling that you've had a lot of wasted years. You've been feeling that you missed something 10 years ago. That you had a plan from God. The 10 just sticks out. 10 years. And I quote Joel chapter 2, that God's going to restore the years. You surrender everything to God, the plans to God. Somebody over there. Help me, somebody. Ushers, help me. Someone in that back area. Separate from your old life. Number 2. Separate from your old life. You guys know that holiness is still right? You know that holiness is still what we are to pursue? See, I didn't know that. See, everyone, I know many are saved in this place, but we got to start putting an emphasis on holiness once again in our churches. I think the lines have been blurred of what holy living looks like. We have more of the world looking like the church, and we need to get back to people pursuing holiness. And it's not a popular flag to hold. I've been in churches. I was in a church in New York City, a very well-known church. And I met a member of that church, and we were shopping at the same store. I started witnessing to the guy. He's like, oh, I go to church already. I'm not going to say it. You guys thought you were going to get the cheese man right there, huh? Nah. And he says, I'm just so excited about God. I'm just glad I found a church that I can do whatever I want on Saturdays and then go to church on Sunday, and God forgives me. Those were his words. I ran home, and I told my wife I almost wanted to cry. I was like, I can't believe that this is what people are teaching. Or that's what they feel when they come to the house of God. God tells Moses, take off your shoes, separate from who you have been so you can begin to walk in what I have for you. See, what it means today to follow Jesus is a lot different than what it used to mean. Before, it meant you follow Jesus, you say yes to him, and you could probably lose your life. You go, you know, through trials. Things were just different. Now, we get offended. We just unfollow like we do social media. God, you know, I'm all for you, but don't let me get offended because I'm just going to hit the unfollow button and I'm done following Jesus. See, we got everything tied to that. See, holiness is giving God the thing he's asking for when he's asking for it. I love that. I heard it. We had a conference recently, and one of the pastors said, I love when people say, God's dealing with me. You know, God doesn't make deals with nobody. And I've caught myself saying that, like, early on, that God's dealing with me with my alcohol. No, he's not. He's asking you to give it up. You give up that thing in that moment. Give me that tithe. Give me that temper. Some of us, God's calling you to fast. Give me that cheeseburger even. See, one way to start pursuing holiness is do an inventory on your friends. Who's dragging you to hell with them? That's what I would tell the guys in New York. Oh, God's going to use me to reach them. How long have you been their friend? About 10 years. Are they coming to church? Have they been to church with you before? No, but God, no. Then you need to release them. You need to release them. Show them how you're living. Show them a different way to live. And what happens is when we don't have good relationship with people who are helping us pursue holiness, we begin to think, and we think like God is some far off genie in the sky. And then we fall, and then we think we have a spiritual problem. I would submit that our problems are not spiritual, but they're a need for relationships. I would submit that, men, you don't have a lust problem. You have a problem with a need for friends in your life that will check your phone and make sure you're living right. Let me see what you're looking at, man. Let me see what's on your phone. What are you going through, young man? How's life? You know, doing life with each other. We surround ourselves, make yourself in a Satan-proof environment. Woman, I would submit that you're not insecure, that you need women in your life that will push you forward and say, girl, you look good in that dress. Some of us say, like I said, I see the promise of God, but I keep stumbling. Hebrews 12:14, pursue holiness. There's a whole sermon I did on holiness. People were all offended. I say, yeah, you can be relevant and still pursue holiness. See, grace did not come to revoke God's call to holiness, but it came to implement it. This way we can live holy because of the grace of God. Not that we can do whatever we want on Saturday night and then come to church and the grace of God is still good. That's true, the grace of God is good, but that gives you the right to now live holy. It changes our thinking from I do this because I want to be holy to I'm doing this and I'm living this way because I am holy. Worship team, please come up. See, I told you. Look at that. Almost 30 minutes. There we go. I love, at our church, it's funny, they call the worship team and they all look at each other like, you go. Somebody, they nudge each other. It's like, you just end up there with like just a drummer. And you're just sitting there like, what am I going to do? Number three, you need to see the need again. I added the again. But you need to see the need. There it is. Your destiny is not just about you getting yours. But it's about you understanding where God is taking you and bringing people along on the journey with you. Going after people, seeing the need. We read it in our passage. See, your destiny is about seeing the need of this generation. Last time I checked, every generation needs Jesus. We reached them. We changed our methods of ministering of the gospel to them. But they still, at the end of the day, need us to see the need. See, the need of this generation is still Jesus. God says to Moses in verse 7, I have seen the oppression of my people, and I've heard their cry. See, in our destiny, we must be able to hear what God is saying and see what God is seeing. And the only way we do that is when we get a hold of him, let him begin to change what we're seeing, change our perspective on things. God's heart breaks more than ever for the things that are going on in this world. What a time for the church to capitalize on the things in this world that are going on. You talk to somebody, you're going to engage in a conversation about a world issue, something that's going on. What a time to be living holy, to be living separate. And they say, man, how can you be so excited about what God's doing and this is going on in the world? You know, that's what's attractive to people. Christians that are living different, excited, loving the unlovable still. See, God wants, when God wants to change a city, he calls a man. And when he wants to bring revival, he calls the church. And they say Christianity is dead in America today. I've read that somewhere. Christianity is dead in America today. And I don't think it's dead. I just think it's in a really deep sleep. I think Christianity is in a really deep sleep. And I believe with all my heart, when we came back from New York, I felt a stirring in my spirit for what God's doing right here in Los Angeles. We've heard it. I've heard it. I've heard it all like 10 years ago. God, we need that awakening in Los Angeles. I heard it, but I felt it. Because let me tell you, I had lost the desire to even want to live in Los Angeles. We were completely separate. And when I came and we got back, I just felt something in my spirit. God began to say, you need to pray. He began to show me the need. He began to show me the need, and I just began to pray for different cities, different churches. Come to find out, these churches are going through things. There's people that are going through things in these churches. There is an attack on our fellowship, a demonic attack against our fellowship. And what's going to change all that is people seeing the need. God says, I have come down, now go. You know, we're still goers, people. Many of us want to plant a church. We want to pioneer. That's awesome. But we still go. 90% of you, 99% of you probably aren't called to pioneer a church. You're called probably to stay here. And that's sometimes more important. Ezekiel 22:30 says, so I sought for a man, a woman, a church, among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me. There's people that need us to stand there. There's people that need us to continue to pursue these things. Encounters with God. Separate living. Seeing the need. I'm going to read you this story and I'm going to close. I've learned the art of closing. You only give one good one. If you grew up like when we grew up in church, believe me, Robert Bloom, he would give a closing and we'd be there for another 4 hours. We'd be little kids sitting there like, man. This is a try. Wake up with a carpet design on your face. You guys know what that's like? See the need. Mother Teresa, she's given her whole life to working with needy people. You guys, I don't have to tell you the story. But check this out. And this helped me just get into perspective because I'm always having to just put myself in someone else's shoes to understand. An atheist reporter came to England to do an interview with her after spending a couple days with her on the streets of Calcutta. He says, Mother Teresa, and you guys all have this person in your life. Believe me, you have this person in your life. He says, Mother Teresa, how can you still believe in God when you see all of this? Where is God with the orphan? Where is God with the widow, with the sick, with those in the hospital, and with those who are hungry? Mother Teresa looked back at him and said, sir, God is right here where the pain is. God is always close to the brokenhearted. The question is not where is God, but the question is where are you? I want to offer that same question. Where are you? Where are you with that dream that God has given you? Where are you with that business that God wants you to start? Where are you with that opportunity that God says, I've opened every door. Now you got to do it. See, she says, where are you with the orphan, with the widow, with those in prison, with the hungry? If we're not careful, we can sometimes look at our city and say, God, where are you at? God, where are you at? You know, God shows us the brokenness of these cities, not so that we can look at him and say, fix it, but that so we can rely on him and he shows us so that we can do it. God, you've given us the insight, everything that we need. See, God will never do what you can do. I learned that the hard way. But if you do what you can do, your ultimate best, God will always step in and do what you can't do. That's a riddle. Did you get it? I have a lisp, and so that little thing kind of was hard for me. But just do what you can do. Believe me. And you get to the point where you're giving only halfway. God will remind you, no, there's more in you. There's more in you. You pursue it again. And then God steps in, begins to do it. I remember standing outside in New York. We get there and we're having church on Sunday afternoon. And I'm standing outside. I'm like, God, where are all the people? I've done everything I can do, God. We came, we listened, we heard the call of God. We went to the city, we planted the church. I've done everything I can do. God says, no, you didn't, because you haven't gone after people. Now go out there and win some people. Believe me, change my perspective. No more church services empty. We made sure, God blessed us. We didn't have one service where it was empty. As soon as we opened the doors, we always had someone there. But God reminded me, no, you're not doing all that you can do. Do what you can do, and I'm going to step in and finish it. Now, God's given someone in this place everything you need. I've said it about 5 times already. Someone's going to receive that. Can you see this? Can you see it? Can you begin to see it? I love the story I preached last time in Elijah. He steps in, the famine all over Israel. He steps in and says, the famine's over. That's the story of my life. I just speak things over stuff. Famine's over. My daughter's struggling in school. She's going to be all right. She's going to get it. God, we're going to help us help her. We're going to make it. Begin to see things differently. What are you looking at? What are you seeing? By faith. Whenever, and I'm really closing. Really, I really am. I wrote a lot. Not like Digga, dude. He's just like, no notes. Get out of here. I tried, dude. He's the king of impersonations. Listen, and you might be in here and you're tired. You might say, I'm trying everything I got. I see everyone worshiping. I want to be up there. I want to be up there. I want to lift my hands. Believe me, I sat in condemnation forever. It felt like, say, God, I want to worship you like everyone else. I want to have this. And I read this scripture. God says, I will be with you. Step out and do it. I will be with you. Believe me, whatever God has called you to do, whatever's on your heart, I just feel like I need to say that I will be with you. The Lord says, I will be with you. See, man is looking for a move of God. Got people leaving churches looking for a move of God. And all God is looking for you to do is move. Just step out and do something. Let me have every head bowed in this place. I want to pray. I don't really want to take a lot of time in just talking about what we're going to pray for. But I know that there's people in this place that needed to hear that word right now in their life. There's someone in this place that needed to hear God encourage them. It was a word that said, man, you're going to start believing again for your family. You're going to start believing again for the city that God has given you on your heart. You're going to stop living in fear. And I want you to come up so that we can pray. I want to lay hands on some people. I always tell people, you never read about arsony and it's a group of people. It's always one crazy person that responds and says, I'm going to go burn everything up. All we need is one crazy person to say, you know what, I'm going to step out and I'm going to change my world.
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's message from Praise Chapel Paramount. If you want to stay connected, follow us online with Facebook and Instagram at PC Paramount, or visit our website at praisechapelparamount.com.